Today's a WRAL weather alert day. We'll likely see rain developing through the afternoon and overnight tonight into tomorrow. Gusty winds. I'll show you what to expect and when.
And the state budget is moving forward with a final vote happening in about 2 hours. Just ahead, I'll explain as this comes after a long night for lawmakers and what's in the budget.
And in a matter of hours, more of auto workers across the nation could walk off the job.
They need to understand what we're really willing to do. And we'll be out here for as long as it takes.
Straight ahead, a look at how the strike is impacting other industries as well. We have that story and much more to get your Friday started. Weather, a big talker today. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Renee Chu. If you need to run any errands today, do anything outdoors, get it done on the early side. We're going to start seeing rain in the afternoon and wind. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with what we are in store for.
It is a WRAL Weather Alert Day, which really kicks in this evening. And that's the time that we'll see more widespread rain and the winds will really start to become gusty. By the time it's all over, we could see 1 to 3 inches of rain around the triangle, but some heavier amounts possibly in the eastern part of the state. We'll see gusts around here up to 40 miles per hour. Potential tropical cyclone 16. We have the new 8 o'clock advisory. No change. It still has winds at 50 miles per hour moving north at 14. And that was a change from overnight last night, both of wind speed and both forward motion. It is likely to make landfall around early morning hours on Saturday and continue to push inland across eastern North Carolina and then out of here in time for a decent day on Sunday. Here's a look at current. Currently, we're looking at No, it didn't. It is still a potential tropical cyclone. I saw that spin begin on the actual graphic there. So anyway, we're looking at the low pressure system continuing to spin some moisture in, some rainfall in eastern North Carolina. We'll zoom in and you can see some of that rain around Greenville. Nothing quite yet in our viewing area. It's probably going to be a few more hours before it arrives here. All right, we take a look at Futurecast and we're looking at that increasing rain across our area from east to west during the afternoon. Some of that will be heavy at times this evening and overnight. Embedded in some of these heavy rain bands will be winds gusting up to 40 miles per hour, which could cause some minor damage, maybe a few isolated trees down. The wind and the rain begin to taper off during the evening on Saturday, and Sunday still looks good. We have a level one risk for severe storms in our eastern counties, and then a better chance for tornadoes closer to the coast. Our best chance of flooding will be from Goldsboro northward, where we could see 2 to 4 inches of rainfall. Of course, along the coast, conditions look worse with gusts up to 70, 4 to 6 inches of rain, and up to 3 to 5 feet of storm surge. It is gray across our area right now. The winds are starting to pick up a little bit out of the northeast at 10. We'll see that increasing as we get into the afternoon and evening, certainly. And of course, we're looking at the conditions continuing to worsen as we get into Saturday. Anthony?
Elizabeth, we head out to the roads right now. We're seeing some pretty calm conditions across the Durham area. No major backups here on this map. You can see everything looking relatively calm. A little bit different story, though, closer to Raleigh. We did have an earlier crash that's in the clearing stages, but on I-40 westbound there near Durali Road, that was certainly causing some issues out there. We'll continue to watch that pretty closely. Actually, that was Lake Wheeler Road on that one. 8-minute backup on US 1 south from Wake Forest. Everyone else looking pretty calm, but we will continue to watch it here over the next couple of hours.
All right. Thanks, Anthony. People on the coast are preparing for the impact of the storm developing offshore. If you're heading that way for the weekend, you need to be prepared. WRAL's Shelley Jackson is joining us this morning. And Shelley, what do families need to know if they are taking that trip to the coast?
Well, definitely watch out for potential rip currents and storm surges if you're going to make that drive to the coast. Many families are expected to head along this stretch of I-40 because Monday is a planning session for Wake County Public Schools. Now, if you're going, make sure you pack an emergency kit. Include a flashlight, extra batteries, food, water, and, of course, a phone charger. Governor Cooper and state emergency management officials are urging you to be prepared and stay safe. They say they are ready to respond to any issues. Businesses along the coast are used to these weather systems, and we spoke to the owner of Sweet and Savory Cafe, that's near Wrightsville Beach, about their storm plans.
So you sort of hang on doing things normally as you can until you have as much information as you can, and then you make the best call you can. And sometimes you guess right, you know, sometimes you guess wrong. You don't ever want to put staff in danger.
So wherever you are this weekend, make sure you are aware of that local forecast. You can sign up for weather alerts at WRAL.com. Shelley Jackson, WREL News, live near Benson.
And the WREL Severe Weather Team will continue tracking the system throughout today and the weekend. You can get instant updates and alerts in the WREL News app. It is free to download.
The state's $30 billion budget bill is close to a done deal. This is a live look at the legislative building where the House cleared the budget after midnight. It now needs final approval from the Senate. WREL's Laura Levine joins us now live from the legislative building. Laura, after months of negotiations, the budget could be on the governor's desk within hours.
Yeah, Renee, good morning. The House's approval came to a 70-40 vote around 12:30 this morning after a day of very intense debates for over the $30 million spending plan. If you take a look inside there, you can see House Speaker Tim Moore giving that final announcement on the vote. The initial votes yesterday, with every Democrat in the state Senate voted against the budget, as well as all but a small handful of Democrats in the House. Despite the budget containing Medicaid expansion, which is a key priority for Democrats, they said the budget contained too many other objectionable features, such as further tax cuts, too low raises for state workers, and hundreds of millions in additional funding for private schools in the form of tuition vouchers. This morning, five Democrats voted with Republicans to move the budget forward. Governor Roy Cooper says he wasn't sure yet if he would vote or sign or veto that budget after it passes the legislature, and here's why.
Grossly underfunds public education. It provides tax cuts for the very wealthiest among us. It provides private school vouchers, which will end up hurting public education.
All right, so we have just about 2 hours when the Senate will vote on this at 9:30. Of course, we'll keep you updated on what happens from there. We do know that it will head to Governor Cooper's desk after that vote. Laura Levine, WREL News, live in Raleigh.
People in Northampton County are being asked to lock their doors and be on the lookout after a man escaped custody following an arrest. The sheriff's office says 32-year-old Dwayne Boone of Pendleton escaped yesterday after being arrested at his home on numerous warrants. Deputies are now searching for him around the town of Jackson. If you see him, call 911.
Two people in Goldsboro are facing gun charges after police say a 6-year-old girl accidentally shot herself in the hand. 22-year-old Eliana Parker and 27-year-old Terrell Bedell are both charged with failure to secure firearms. The 6-year-old was taken to UNC Medical Center in Chapel Hill and is expected to be okay.
More of the nation's auto workers could walk off the job in a matter of hours. The United Auto Workers Union says workers at more auto plants will join the picket line at noon unless significant progress is made in negotiations with the big three automakers. The strike started a week ago with about 13,000 workers at three key plants. The union's demands include 40% higher wages over the next 4 years. As the strike continues, Stellantis, GM, and Ford are laying off hundreds of non-union workers. One worker who was laid off from a plant in Ohio says she's frustrated. She wished to remain anonymous in her interview.
They're going to do what makes them happy and what they feel would benefit all of them, but it doesn't trickle down to us smaller companies that provide them what they need. All they're doing is they're making it harder for all the smaller companies.
The fallout is also hitting other industries. U.S. Steel laid off hundreds of workers in Illinois this week. It is 8:08. More trouble for convicted murderer Alec Murdaugh. Straight ahead, when he'll be in court next to face nearly 100 criminal charges.
And it's going to be a rainy weekend. Maybe you're planning on binge watching a show on Netflix. We'll tell you about a way you can get paid to do that. That's next.
And of course, starting to see some of that rain showing up on the radar. But to our east, it looks like we'll begin to see this as early as lunchtime. I'll walk you through the timeline of when you'll see it coming up.
Welcome back. Time now 8:12 on your Friday morning. You're taking a live look at a very cloudy Beaufort this morning. You're watching WREL News, available on Spectrum and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device. Lots of us preparing for this incoming storm this weekend. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is timing everything out for us and what we can expect.
The WRL weather alert day kicks in at about 7 p.m. That's when we're going to have widespread rain and the wind will start to pick up. But we'll start to see the rain as early as lunchtime moving into our viewing area. All total by the end of the day Saturday, up to 1 to 3 inches with gusts up to 40 miles per hour. So let's walk through it. This is a look at what's happening right now. You can see some rain from the system pushing on the coast there. We're seeing the storm now about 245 miles south of Cape Hatteras. The 8 o'clock advisory, it's still a potential tropical cyclone. Winds at 50 miles per hour, moving north at 14. So no real change since 5 a.m. But this is a big change since last night. Definitely a stronger storm and moving faster. Likely to move onshore in eastern North Carolina with winds up to 60 miles per hour early Saturday morning. Moving northward quickly and moving out of here, leaving us dry by Sunday. But for this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, it's looking rather wet. The worst case scenario is going to be the Outer Banks. That's where we could see 70 mile per hour wind gusts, up to 6 inches of rain and up to 3 to 5 feet of storm surge. That's pretty significant for that area. Rip current danger for most of the coast. We've seen that the last several days. That will continue all the way through the weekend. We check out Futurecast. You can see the rain starting to push as far inland as our viewing area. By lunchtime, we'll see between, say, 3 and 4 o'clock, that rain arriving in the triangle, and then it just continues to push west. It'll be heavy at times overnight, and we may have some wind damage in a few isolated spots as we see some very gusty winds overnight tonight. We stop things here at about 7 p.m. Saturday. That's when we start to see the rain lightening up a little bit and everything starting to push out. We check out some of the rainfall potential totals, an inch to maybe an inch and a half in the triangle, and then you head eastward, and it's a quick jump to some much higher totals along and east of I-95, 2 to 3 inches, maybe some isolated 4-inch totals. That's where we could have the potential for flooding, especially from Goldsboro northward toward Roanoke Rapids, 2 to 4 inches of rain. And the flooding risk is medium there for parts of eastern Wake County and Johnston County on closer to the coast. Power outage potential, it's definitely there. We're going to see winds gusting up to 40 miles per hour. It should be low for most of our area, but this is new this morning. Little area there in eastern North Carolina pops up where we could see winds gusting 45, maybe to 50, might give us more scattered power outages. It's going to be cool with the system. 74 today, 67 Saturday, but a nice break by Sunday with some sunshine and a high temperature of 80 degrees. Anthony?
That sunshine will be so nice to get back in the forecast, Elizabeth. We are seeing some relatively calm conditions for us this morning, as well as the traffic conditions, things like that we've been monitoring. No big delays here showing up on I-40. We did have a crash on I-40 westbound earlier this morning. That has since cleared up. So I want to make you aware that that one's looking pretty good. Around the city of Durham here, no major backups, just a slight 3-minute delay there on 98 westbound from North Carolina 50. And we head a little bit closer here to Raleigh. Like I said, we had that earlier crash in the clearing stages to the south of the city right now. About a 4-minute delay on US 1 south from Wake Forest.
Anthony, thanks. Crews in Fayetteville were able to quickly put out an early morning fire in the city. The fire started at a house on Amanda Circle just after 1 this morning. Firefighters say the home is vacant. The Stony Point Fire Department helped put out the fire.
Hollywood's writers remain on strike this morning after a marathon negotiation session ended with no deal. The Writers Guild of America says talks with the heads of Hollywood studios will resume today. They were at the table for more than 10 hours yesterday, but could not come to terms. It was the second straight day of talks between the sides. Writers have been on the job for 144 days, the second longest strike in the union's history.
On the heels of pleading guilty to financial fraud, convicted murderer Alec Murdaugh will be back in court in November to face about 100 different charges. They are related to stolen settlement funds from the family of the Murdaugh's late housekeeper, Gloria Satterfield. Yesterday, he pleaded guilty to 22 fraud and money laundering charges. As part of a plea deal, he will have to pay back a minimum of $9 million that he's accused of stealing from his clients. Each charge carries a maximum of at least 20 years in prison and some a 30-year sentence. Murdaugh's attorney is also seeking a new trial in his murder case. He's currently serving life without parole for shooting and killing his wife and son. He has denied any role in their deaths.
A trial date has been set for the federal case involving 5 former Memphis police officers involved in the death of Tyree Nichols. The trial is set for May 6th. The officers face charges for excessive force, failure to intervene, and 2 obstruction of justice charges. They are also facing second-degree murder charges in another state case. There's also a civil case where these officers have been named as defendants as well.
The budget isn't the only topic the legislature is tackling. The bill that would overhaul the state's election process also goes to vote this morning. Republican lawmakers finalized legislation Thursday that would overhaul the state board of elections, as well as all 100 county boards. It would strip the governor's ability to appoint the board members who vote on decisions. They include where to put early voting sites, whether to declare someone ineligible to run for office, and whether to start an investigation into allegations of fraud or wrongdoing.
The fireworks and Durham City Council meetings continue in the group's first meeting since Councilor Monique Holsey-Hyman was cleared of corruption allegations by the SBI. She thanked those who stood with her. She had a different message for the four other council members who were not at her press conference on Wednesday.
You tried to ruin my life. And all I tried to do was come in and be a colleague. And I really was excited. I was so excited to be able to work to the residents of Durham.
The district attorney's memo says there's no evidence that there was a coordinated effort by any other council member to initiate allegations against Holsey-Hyman.
The State Department of Health and Human Services is warning people to be vigilant against mosquito bites following reports of West Nile virus. There have been 5 cases reported in North Carolina since August 1st. Everyone has since recovered. In the past, by this time of year, only 2 or 3 cases of West Nile have been reported. To reduce your chances of getting a mosquito-borne illness, use repellents with DEET and dump out any standing water.
The site of the Parkland, Florida school shooting will be demolished at the end of the current school year. A spokesperson for the school district says the decision was made for the well-being of students and staff on campus. The building has been preserved as a crime scene since 2018. That's when a gunman murdered 17 people and wounded 17 others. The shooter pleaded guilty and was sentenced to life in prison last year. 4 school faculty in the building it's a source of trauma.
I cannot wait for the day that it's not here. You know, that I don't look down this long hallway and see a memory that's not a good memory. It's this horrible memory.
Jurors visited the building during the trial. Victim families were allowed to visit the building in July and collect their loved ones' belongings. One father said it looked like a war zone. It's unclear if a memorial will be built at that site.
People with young kids in their lives will want to pay close attention to a new book recall. Rainbow Road Series board books are pulling 7 books from shelves over a possible choking hazard. These books have plastic binding rings that can detach. You can see what those books look like on your screen right now. You can find details on this recall on WRAL.com.
Unfortunately, bad weather is threatening the 45th annual International Folk Festival this weekend in Fayetteville. This is the second year the festival is back on after it was shut down during the pandemic. Fort Liberty makes Fayetteville a melting pot of cultures from around the world. In addition to international cuisine, there was a parade of nations with 1,500 participants scheduled, but weather has forced that to be canceled.
Have those people stand out there some 4 to 5 hours in this parade and the cost to the city. We just felt that it was best for all concerned, again, with the concern for the people, to not do that parade.
In 2018, Hurricane Florence flooded parts of downtown Fayetteville, but the water receded just in time to let that festival go on.
Actress Sophie Turner is suing pop star Joe Jonas for the return of their 2 young children to England. Turner claims Jonas will not turn over the children's passports. The celebrity pair announced their split this month after 4 years of marriage.
There's a chance you can make some money just by being a couch potato. Online ranking service OnlineCasinos.com is looking for someone to binge watch shows on Netflix. It's promising to pay $2,500 for this lazy gig. All you have to do is identify the most binge-worthy shows on the streaming platform. And if you love Stranger Things, Squid Game, and Wednesday, you are in luck. Those are the shows that you'd most likely be watching or rewatching. Anyone over the age of 18 can apply. Applications are due on Monday. Oh, the fast start for Christian McCaffrey and the San Francisco 49ers is not slowing down. They hosted the New York Giants last night. On this run, McCaffrey went over 5,000 yards for his career. Later in the game, he got into the end zone for a touchdown. The 49ers improved to 3-0 on the season with a 30-12 win.
You can watch college football tomorrow night on WREL. It's a battle of top 10 teams as 6th-ranked Ohio State travels to South Bend to play 9th-ranked Notre Dame. Kickoff is at 7:30. Are you ready for some bluegrass? The IBMA Bluegrass Festival begins next Friday, and downtown Raleigh is already counting down to the big event. The banjo countdown clock is up in front of Raleigh Memorial Auditorium. The festival is the largest urban bluegrass festival in the world. Well, coming up, an emotional reunion in Florida. In the next half hour, we'll show you the moment a man who was stranded in the ocean got to reunite with the people who saved his life. And here's a live look at Fayetteville. A cloudy and windy start. As you can see, meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center tracking the storms that will move into the area this afternoon on this WRL Weather Alert Day.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good Friday morning. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. It is a WRAL Weather Alert Day. The rain is starting to push in. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner shows us exactly where it is falling right now.
Yeah, here's a HD Doppler network. You can see some of that rain in eastern North Carolina along the coast. None of that quite in our viewing area yet, but give it another couple of hours and we'll start to see that. Say, down around Wilson and down toward Goldsboro and through Sampson County. We have a level one risk for severe storms in our eastern counties. That's where we can see a few isolated reports of wind damage, a chance of tornadoes a little closer to the coast, a flood watch in effect from Goldsboro northward. That's where we'll see 2 to 4 inches of rain tonight and tomorrow. It's a fairly pleasant morning out there. It's a live look at Apex. Yes, it is cloudy. If you're walking the dog, you want to get that done as quick as you can. I know, you know, you still have to walk the dog this evening, but it is going to be wet and windy. Highs will be in the mid 70s. Anthony?
Elizabeth, we head out to the roads this morning. Things are looking relatively calm right now. There's a live look I-440 at New Bern Avenue, but you see that tree blowing around there with the wind coming in, as Elizabeth was talking about. We're going to see a probably very wet evening commute, so just make sure to plan for some extra time into tonight. There's a look here at the delays across the city of Raleigh, just about a 4-minute backup US 1 south from Wake Forest. Otherwise here, we're looking relatively calm, but we'll keep a close eye on it for you this morning.
Thanks, Anthony. It's round two of votes today for the state's new $30 billion budget. The bill cleared the House after midnight. After a long night, the budget will head to the Senate for final approval before heading to the governor's desk. Coming up next for us on Fox 50, we'll explain how environmental restrictions in North Carolina may be loosening. And then next on Today, Kelly Clarkson performs live on the Plaza.
Today's a WRL Weather Alert Day. As we get through the day, the rain will start to pick up in intensity. The winds begin to gust to 40 miles per hour. I'll show you the timeline where you are.
Heading to the coast this weekend to find out how weather could impact your beach time and what to know before you go.
The state budget is moving forward with a final vote happening later this morning. Just ahead, I'll explain what happened just after midnight and what's in the bill that will affect so many North Carolinians.
It is 8:30. We're going to be in for some rough weather that will affect your Friday night and Saturday plans. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Yeah, luckily we have meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner here to walk us through all of this. It is a WRL Weather Alert Day, Elizabeth. And we just heard Shelley, you know, if you're planning to go to the coast, you have to prepare.
You do. And, you know, I want to say, you know, tonight and Saturday is going to be uncomfortable at the coast and there could be some damage. But Sunday, just like here, should be okay. You won't be able to get in the water because of the rip current danger, but the weather will improve. improve. Timeline, we're going to kick off our weather alert day at about 7 p.m. because that's when we'll have widespread rain. It starts to get heavy. The wind begins to pick up, but it actually starts around lunchtime or early afternoon. Totals 1 to 3 inches, some gusts up to 40 miles per hour, and I'll show you exactly what you'll see where you are. But let's check in with the system first. It's about 250 miles south of Cape Hatteras, moving north at 14 with winds at 50 miles per hour. It is likely to gain some strength, up to 60 mile per hour winds as it moves onshore in eastern North Carolina early tomorrow morning, and heading up on into Virginia and then back out to sea. And we should see a decent day on Sunday. It's just going to be tonight and tomorrow that will be unpleasant. You can already see some rain there in eastern North Carolina. We'll take a closer look here, throw the counties on. Nothing yet in our viewing area, but it's definitely getting close. I would imagine that we'll start to feel some of that rain by lunchtime in our eastern counties. That's what we're seeing here on Futurecast anyway. Lunchtime from Rocky Mount to Goldsboro to Clinton, we're seeing rain. And then closer to mid-afternoon before we see it in the triangle, and then it just keeps on pushing westward. The rain will be heavy at times. You can see those rain bands pushing through. This is Saturday at 8 a.m. Still pretty wet for us at lunchtime, but ever so gradually, we do start to see it dissipating somewhat by the evening on Saturday. But of course, we'll have some heavy rain and some windy conditions before that happens. We have a level one risk for severe storms in our eastern counties. This is where we could see some isolated wind damage, a better chance of tornadoes in that level two risk a little closer to the coast. Flooding more likely in our eastern counties from Goldsboro northward, 2 to 4 inches of rainfall there. More likely to see 1 to 2 inches in the triangle. Things, of course, worse along the coast, especially the Outer Banks, where we could see winds gusting up to 70 miles per hour, up to 6 inches of rain, and up to 5 feet of storm surge. We'll go into more detail about storm surge and some of those rainfall totals coming up. A live look at Durham is cloudy. Our wind is out of the northeast at 9 miles per hour. We'll start to get gusty this afternoon. Right now it's 64 degrees. It does stay cool today with high temperatures only in the mid-70s and even cooler on Saturday. I'll show you coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. This storm making its way along our coast may force some changes to your end of summer trip to the beach. WRL's Shelley Jackson tells us families need to be prepared for the impacts of this storm before they head out.
Rip currents and storm surges are one thing to be aware of if you're making the trip down this stretch of I-40 this weekend. If you're heading that way, make sure to pack an emergency kit. Include a flashlight, extra batteries, food, water, and of course, a phone charger. Governor Cooper and state emergency management officials are urging you to be prepared and stay safe. They say they are ready to respond to any issues this weekend. Businesses along the coast are used to these weather systems. We spoke to the owner of Sweet and Savory Cafe. It's near Wrightsville Beach, who say they are just keeping an eye on the storm.
So you sort of hang on doing things normally as you can until you have as much information as you can. And then you make the best call you can. And sometimes you guess right. You know, sometimes you guess wrong. You don't ever want to put staff in danger.
And wherever you are this weekend, make sure you are aware of the local forecast. You can sign up for weather alerts on WRAL.com. Shelley Jackson, WRAL News, near Benson.
It's round two of votes today for the state's new $30 billion budget. The House cleared the budget after midnight. It now needs final approval from the Senate. And WRAL's Laura Levine tells us the bill may be just hours away from the governor's desk.
It was a very late night for lawmakers here. The House's approval was a 70 to 40 vote around 12:30 this morning. Of course, this all coming after a day of intense debates over the $30 million spending plan. So let's show you a look inside.
The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 70 having voted in the affirmative and 40 in the negative.
House Speaker Tim Moore there announcing that vote. In initial votes on Thursday, every Democrat in the state Senate voted against the budget, as did all but a small handful of Democrats in the House, despite the budget containing Medicaid expansion, a key priority of Democrats for years. They said the budget contained too many other objectionable features, such as further tax cuts, too low raises for state workers, and hundreds of millions in additional funding for private schools in the form of tuition vouchers. This morning, five Democrats voted with Republicans to move the budget forward. Governor Roy Cooper says he wasn't sure yet if he would sign or veto the budget after it passes the legislature. He likes that it expands Medicaid, but he says it is concerned that many parts of it are unconstitutional or simply misguided.
We were able to perform CPR on Medicaid expansion once again. It was resuscitated, and that would allow us to get
health insurance to more than 600,000 North Carolinians.
The budget will head to the state Senate for that vote at 9:30 this morning. Then it'll head to Governor Cooper's desk. Laura Levine, WREL News in Raleigh.
People in Northampton County are being asked to lock their doors and be on the lookout after a man escaped custody following an arrest. The sheriff's office says 32-year-old Dwayne Boone of Pendleton escaped yesterday after being arrested at his home on numerous outstanding warrants. Deputies are searching for him around the town of Jackson. If you have any information, call 911.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, a Ukrainian missile striking Russia's Black Sea fleet. This is a picture just entering newsroom of that attack. The Russian Defense Ministry reporting that attack killed one service member. This video, and picture rather, shows the plumes of smoke over the building located in the town in the annexed Crimea. The Defense Ministry also says five missiles were shot down by Russian air defense systems. Officials say no one outside of this facility was injured. Now, the attack happened one day after Russian missiles and artillery rained down on cities all across Ukraine.
Ken, thank you. More of the nation's auto workers could walk off the job in a matter of hours. The United Auto Workers Union says workers at more auto plants will join the picket line at noon unless significant progress is made in negotiations with the big three automakers. Now, the strike started a week ago with about 13,000 workers at three key plants. The union's demands include 40% higher wages over the next 4 years. As the strike continues, Stellantis, GM, and Ford are laying off some non-union workers. The fallout is also hitting other industries. U.S. Steel laid off hundreds of workers in Illinois this week.
A 9-year-old is recovering this morning after being hit by a car in Holly Springs. It happened around 8 o'clock last night on Autumn Park Avenue and Avon Ferry Road. The WREL breaking news tracker was on the scene. We are told the child was crossing the street when a 17-year-old driver hit them. The child was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Officers have not said if any charges will be filed.
Investigators tell WREL the man accused of stealing a car in Nash County and leading officers on a miles-long chase stole another car hours before in South Carolina. Investigators say Quinton Williams carjacked a car just outside of Charleston on Wednesday morning. He left the area and made his way up I-95 in Nash County. That's where deputies say he stole the second vehicle and led authorities on a chase. He then crashed into deputies in Weldon, sending two of them to the hospital. Williams is in critical condition. He has not been formally charged. Both deputies have now been released from the hospital.
Fox has an NFL doubleheader on Sunday. The Saints and the Packers will play at 1 o'clock, and that's followed by the Cowboys against the Cardinals. That is at 4 o'clock. And then turn it over to WREL for Sunday Night Football. Football Night in America starts at 7, leading up to kickoff between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Las Vegas Raiders. That is happening at 8:15.
A man rescued after being stranded in the ocean for 2 days reunites with the people who saved his life.
Craziest moments of my life.
We'll show you the emotional moments he shared with members of the Coast Guard.
And if you have unpaid medical bills, you could be getting some relief soon. We'll tell you about the plans to wipe those bills off of credit reports.
And this is a live look at Wilson, where it's already cloudy and breezy. It will be rainy later this afternoon. Today is a WREL weather alert day. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is tracking the storms that will move into our area. Welcome back. It is 8:43. We're taking you to the coast. This is a live look at Beaufort, and you can see it is already raining pretty hard there. Gray skies. It's just going to be a very tough weekend for the coast. They're going to see the biggest impacts from this potential tropical system that's developing. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WREL Severe Weather Center with our impacts as well.
We're likely to see 1 to 3 inches of rainfall. Obviously, the closer you get to the coast, the heavier those totals will be, with some gusts up to 40 miles per hour. It's a WRAL weather alert day starting at about 7 p.m. Now, we're going to see rain way before that, but it's just likely that we'll be seeing some of the heavier rainfall totals, the stronger winds as we get into this evening. It's a potential tropical system because it doesn't have a closed circulation, and that is one of the definitions of a tropical storm. But it could have that before it actually reaches shore here in eastern North Carolina. It's already feeding some rain into eastern North Carolina, and it doesn't really matter whether it gets named tropical storm. The impacts for us will be the same. It's moving north at 14 with winds at 50 miles per hour, so it did strengthen and started to move a little faster overnight last night. Right now, we're looking at this being 2 a.m. on Saturday, and it's likely to move onshore through eastern North Carolina during the morning hours on Saturday, continue to trek northward, and then start to make a right turn back out to sea. The biggest impacts will, of course, be along the coast, especially the Outer Banks. This is where we could see gusts up to 70 miles per hour, up to 6 inches of rain, and storm surge at 3 to 5 feet. We take a look at the storm surge, and the darker pink area is where there's a warning, where it's more likely that we would see 3 to 5 feet, and that includes the Inner Banks. We're going to see that wind rotating counterclockwise, pushing that water up against the land here. That's where we're more likely to have flooding, and then we do have maybe 2 to 4 foot storm surge in those pink shaded areas. This is a look at our overall setup. The low continues to move northward, spreading rain inland. We'll see that continuing through the afternoon, and overnight it becomes heavy with some gusty winds. We take a look at the timeline for rain for us. Likely to start moving into our viewing area by around noon. By mid to late afternoon, it's in the triangle area and continues to push westward. And you can see the heavy rain there in the yellows and oranges. Within those heavy rain bands, we'll likely see some gusts up to 40 miles per hour. This is Saturday morning, and it stays pretty heavy all the way through lunchtime and continues to rain even during the afternoon and evening, but just not as heavily, and then gradually starts to pull out on Saturday night. The winds will continue to be breezy through Saturday afternoon and evening. Level 1 risk for severe storms in our eastern counties, better chance for tornadoes along the coast. From Goldsboro northward, that's where we have a flood watch in effect, and we'll take a look at some of those potential rainfall totals. Easily an inch to an inch and a half from the triangle area westward, and then those numbers really jump along and east of I-95, 2 to 3 inches, maybe some isolated 4-inch totals. In terms of wind, from Raleigh westward, we'll gust up to 35, from Raleigh eastward, gusting up to 40, and then we get into 50, 60, 70 mile per hour wind gusts as you get closer to the coast. Biz and Mule Days, of course, we're a proud community sponsor this afternoon. It's going to be messy as well as much of tomorrow, but Sunday still looks pretty good. Partly cloudy and 80 degrees, really messy for Football Friday. It will be windy and chilly with temperatures in the mid-60s, and of course, a good chance for rain. Downtown Durham looking gray right now, 64 degrees with a dew point of 60. Around town, we're looking at temperatures in the mid-70s for this afternoon, so it's cooler than it was yesterday, and tomorrow even cooler with a high of just 67. But again, Sunday's not looking bad. We continue with some dry weather early next week.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. New this morning, 3 people are seriously injured after a shooting in Charlotte. Police say it happened near an apartment complex in East Charlotte. 2 people have life-threatening injuries. 1 person is seriously hurt. No word on any arrests at this time.
Lawmakers in Washington are scrambling to avoid a government shutdown as you look live at Capitol Hill. The federal government runs out of money at the end of September. Without congressional action, it shuts down on October 1st for the first time since 2019. A government shutdown would force hundreds of thousands of federal workers to be furloughed or to work without pay until the shutdown ends. National parks would be closed, and government services like food safety inspections, passport applications, and small business loans would be slowed. If you have unpaid medical bills, they could soon be wiped from your credit reports. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is considering a proposal that would stop credit companies from including that type of debt on Americans' credit reports. The agency's director says medical bills are often mistakes because of issues with insurance and coverage and should not affect credit scores or the ability to receive a loan. The agency wants input from small businesses that might be affected before the rule is proposed next year.
And now to a dramatic rescue at sea and the emotional reunion between a man and the people who saved his life. Charlie Gregory disappeared at sea for almost 40 hours last month off the coast of St. Augustine, Florida. His 3 a.m. fishing trip was in the intracoastal, but when a wave knocked over his boat and dumped his flares and cell phone, he was swept 12 miles away with no working motor. His 8-foot aluminum boat was partially submerged in water and was surrounded by sharks the same size. Finally, crews looking for Charlie spotted him in the ocean. Charlie's parents were in disbelief and most of all relieved.
He's alive. Charlie's been found. He's alive. And we went from dead to living in a split second.
My goodness. Thursday, the Gregories were able to meet with members of the Coast Guard who helped save Charlie. He says he's still enjoying the water and his family is filled with joy to have him back.
We're hoping the rain doesn't wash out all your outdoor plans this weekend.
I know. There's plenty of fun to be had as we look at some of WREL Out and About's best bets. In Johnston County, Benson Mule Days continues through Sunday. The fun includes vendors, live music, and carnival rides. The mule events start today, including mule races and a mule show. Right now, the parade is planned for 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. We'll have to see how the weather affects that. WREL is a proud community partner.
The Taste of Soul Food Truck Rodeo is coming back to Durham this weekend. It's planned for City Plaza from 3 to 5 tomorrow afternoon. Fingers crossed the rain will clear by then. It features a variety of food options, plus a bounce house, games, and a DJ. Admission is free.
And comedian Chris Tucker is coming to the DPAC for a performance on Sunday night. It's part of his first major tour in more than 10 years. Some tickets are still available. They start at $39.50. You can find out more about these events and others by going to WREL.com and searching Out and About.
A movie is moving into wider release today that's based on recent events, reminded its writers about something happening right now. David Daniel has that and more in today's Hollywood Minute.
What's the point of winning the race if you let some idiot steal the prize?
A lot of people feel the system is broken. The whole idea of the stock market is if you're smart and maybe with a little luck, you can make your fortune. Certainly not anymore. There's no hope for the little guy.
Dumb Money looks at how everyday investors got rich buying GameStop stocks until the Wall Street establishment struck back. The film's writer-producers saw a parallel between the subject matter and the current tussle in Tinseltown.
We're here in our capacity as producers, but we're very proud Writers Guild members, and it's exactly what's happening on our picket lines right now. We're really proud to be part of a movement that's fighting for the same things that the characters in our movie are fighting for: fairness and transparency. You cannot have one without the other. That's true in Wall Street, it's true in Hollywood, it's true in every industry.
Dumb Money expands to moderate release today and wide release next Friday.
Where to? I'll be your escort this evening.
The classic animated romantic fantasy Howl's Moving Castle is returning to theaters September 23rd through the 27th, with screenings both in the original Japanese with English subtitles and English dubbed versions. Check fathomevents.com for theater locations and showtimes. In Howlywood, I'm David Daniel.
Army's Golden Knights parachute team will be in action tonight in Chatham County. The team will parachute onto the field before Seaforth High School's game against Chatham Central. It's part of the school's homecoming and military appreciation night. The game is set to get started at 7:30.
Are you ready for some bluegrass? The IBMA Bluegrass Festival begins next Friday, and downtown Raleigh is already counting down to the big event. The banjo countdown clock is up in front of Raleigh Memorial Auditorium. The festival is the largest urban bluegrass festival in the world. Happening today, a local charter school becomes the first school in the state to have electric buses. Maureen Joy Charter in Durham will hold a special ribbon cutting and unveiling. The new buses replace the old ones that run on diesel. The move helps to cut carbon emissions and improve health for students in their communities. Duke Energy helped the school in its new electric buses. The ribbon cutting is set for 10 this morning.
An organization in Virginia is making senior adults help senior dogs in the most colorful way. Residents from the Virginian Senior Living Community are the artists behind these masterpieces. They're part of the new initiative called Grandpaws and From Draws for Paws, an organization that raises money through art for animals in need. The program helps senior dogs in shelters find their new homes a little faster while also bringing awareness about senior pet adoption. Those are good. That's some good artwork right there.
So cute.
Yeah.
Well, before we go to break, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers. Your pick three numbers, 970. Pick four numbers, 6689. We'll get another check on weather and traffic next.